I think one of the most beautiful songs that's ever been written is the song Send in the Clowns. Stephen Sondheim wrote it years ago for an opera that he had put together, a music theater. And I got the lyrics up there, Dave, so throw them up there. And we'll listen to it at the end from the original Broadway version, but I just want to go through the lyrics just briefly. I'll just read it through for you. Isn't it rich? Are we a pair? Me here at last on the ground and you in midair, said in the clowns. Isn't it bliss? Don't you approve? One who keeps tearing around, one who can't move. Where are the clowns? Send in the clowns. Just when I stopped opening doors, finally knowing the one that I wanted was yours, making my interest again with my usual flair, sure of my lines, no one is there. Don't you love farce? My fault, I fear. I thought you'd want what I want. Sorry, my dear. But where are the clowns? Quick, send in the clowns. Don't bother. They're here. I think there's one verse that I didn't. Keep going. Isn't it rich? Isn't it queer? Losing my time this late in my career. And where are the clowns? There ought to be clowns. Well, maybe next year. Let's take a listen to it now. I just wanted to bring the lyrics into your mind. Let's take a listen. Just click the slide. I really want to hear it. Yeah. It's right there, Dave. There we go. Here we go.
Timing this late in my career. next year.
You know, the song is, the song Send the Clowns is about unrequited love. And unrequited love is a big part of human life. You know, I think everyone here knows what unrequited love means. I don't think there's anyone who's never been touched by the reality of unrequited love. You know, even in the happiest marriage, there's unrequited love. And that's at the best of times. You know, yesterday when we were having our service for Doug, one older Church of the Nazarene pastor stood up and he said, you know, Doug's a tragic figure because Doug had so much unrequited love in his life. And he named it for us because it's true. Doug had a hard time with love. And, you know, his first marriage, and we saw the pictures, so important. You could see how important this marriage was for him. But it ended. We don't even really know the story. Maybe some of you do. I don't know the story of it. And then, of course, he got married again. And the same thing, you know? I don't blame anyone. It just happens sometimes. You know, we get caught up in our own lives and things happen. And we end up on the other side of love with our heart broken. And then, of course, Doug lost his relationship with his two girls, too. And I know what that feels like, too. You know, unrequited love can happen in so many different ways. You can have a daughter move to Australia. Or someone you love dearly dies. So where do you find love in this life then? There's no real guarantee for it, is it? As they say, you know, even in loving relationships, there's still lots of love that isn't returned. Because that's what unrequited means, right? It means unanswered love. Love that I give that's not coming back, or love that others give us too. There's lots of love that I haven't answered back too. It's both ways. We think of, you know, a comedy, we always think of it's a funny story, but, you know, actually what it means is a story with a happy ending. And a tragedy is a story with a sad ending. A comedy can have a dark comedy. A dark comedy can have a lot of pain and suffering along the way as long as it ends well, right? All's well that ends well. One of Shakespeare's famous plays, his famous comedies. As long as the story ends up at a happy place, then it's a comedy, no matter how you got there. And there are other stories, tragedies, that can have a huge amount of humor in it. I think of Michael Moore's first documentary, Roger and Me. And it was about the story of Flint's collapse when all the GM plants closed. I don't think I laughed so hard in a movie than in that one, but the ultimate storyline was very tragic. It was really the death of a city. It can happen, you know. So a comedy is a happy ending and a tragedy is a sad ending. What about Doug? Was his story ultimately a happy ending or a sad one? What do you think? What about your story? Is it going to end up as a happy ending or as a sad ending? You know, we live in a universe, and we were talking a little bit about this last week and yesterday at the service. You know, the whole universe is kind of winding down, right? It's going to take a few trillion years to get there. It's going to wind down. The sun, a few billion years, is going to wind down, and it's going to become a red giant, and it's going to burn us out here on Earth, and then it's going to eventually collapse and then disappear sometime into the far future. And the whole universe is kind of winding down to nothing eventually. Is that a happy ending or a sad ending? What do you think? The the story of Jesus. I got some I got a slide up there, Dave. It's there, Dave. It's there. I can tell you right now, it's there. It's on. It's in my. Okay, well, we'll keep going. You keep searching for it. It's a list of all the slides for. It's a slide of list of all the pictures, for all the stained glass. We're going around the stained glasses over the last few weeks and the next few weeks. And we got, of course, as you know, we got the story of the birth and then Jesus in the temple. We got those two empty panes there that were supposed to have the baptism of Jesus, feeding of the 5,000. Then we got on to Mary and Martha. And Jesus, and then Jesus healing the blind man. And then the next two panels over, yeah, there they are, right there. So if you look at that, as I've mentioned to you several times, they made a boo-boo. I don't know how they did it, because it's a big one, actually, when you think about it. Because they're telling the life of Jesus in sequence, and when they put the stained glass in, they put them backwards. Because the first one of the next pane is Jesus cleansing the temple, but actually, he can't cleanse the temple until he gets into the city of Jerusalem. So they got him backwards. They should have had it reversed. So Jesus enters into Jerusalem, and then Jesus cleanses the temple. And then if you look at the back there, that big, beautiful three-pane set of glass, stained glass, there's Jesus with his disciples at the Last Supper. And then you got down this side here, this is all follows out of that moment. You know, Jesus in Gethsemane praying, and then there's Jesus being betrayed by Judas. And then you got Jesus before Pilate, and then Jesus crucified, and then Jesus raised from the dead, and Jesus ascended. And you can see at the top there's a dove. What's that dove represent on the far last panel? What does that represent? The Holy Spirit, yeah. And that Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, Christ's Spirit, has come to lay upon his church. And this is the story of Jesus right in our building. You know, and as I've mentioned to you, it took me 10 years to realize this. I'd been here 10 years in the church. I didn't even figure this out, that this was actually the telling of Jesus' story in short form, in picture form for us. I want you to notice something, though. What is most of the pane glass story of Jesus focusing on? It's focusing on his last week, right? You got the birth up at the front here that you can't normally see. You got four panes about Jesus' ministry, and then we start on the journey to what? What are we going to? Does anybody know what that last week is called for Jesus? What do they call the last week? Like, we call it Holy Week liturgically, but what for Jesus do we call the last week of his journey, his earthly journey? I couldn't hear you. It is the Passion. You know what I was thinking? I knew Doug would know that. So the mantle of Doug is on you, Liz. Okay, it's not really, but the Passion. It's Jesus' Passion, right? It's his journey. It's his journey from today, when we read the story of Jesus entering to Jerusalem all the way to the cross. That's called his Passion. Is that story a comedy or a tragedy, do you think? What would you say? Does it have a happy ending or a sad ending? What do you think, honestly? It's hard to say, isn't it, really? It depends what point of view you're looking at it. From an earthly point of view, is this a sad ending or a happy ending? Is it a comedy or a tragedy, the story we are embarking on today? That leads to the cross. What do you think? I can't hear your mumbling. Come on, take a gamble. What do you think? It's a tragedy, isn't it? Because what is the story of Jesus' journey that he starts the day and then he ends up on the cross a week later? What is it a story of unrequited love? It's unrequited love. He comes bearing God's love to people. He is God's incarnate of love. He comes to bear the message and holiness of God to the world. And what happens to him? He gets unanswered love in return. His love is unanswered. In fact, he runs into immense hostility and antipathy, disdain, and in his attempt to love people. And he ends up on a cross. Dave, you got your hand up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is that little, well, this is the thing, right? From a human point of view, this story is a tragedy. But from a godly point of view, from a divine point of view, is the story a comedy or a tragedy, do you think? It's a comedy, right? Because we have a happy ending. It's not always, like, we have a happy ending. It doesn't mean the whole journey was happy. In fact, if you've watched the story, you know, Jesus cleansing the temple, Jesus at his Last Supper, Jesus abandoned in Gethsemane, Jesus betrayed by a close disciple, Jesus before the authority seat of an empire, beat Jesus crucified on a cross, that's not a happy journey at all. The journey itself is not happy, but it brings us to an ending point. But you only get to the resurrection and to the ascension from the divine side of the story. You don't get there from a human point of view. It's only on the other side of the cross that we actually experience the comedy or the happy ending of God in all this. And so I ask again, is Doug's story of love, which was in earthly terms a form of tragedy, as the one pastor noted, is his story of love from a divine point of view different, you think? What do you say? He certainly thought it was. Because I don't know if you noticed it, but Doug, he got knocked down a lot in life. He had a lot of hard challenges to face in life. He had a lot of personal defeats that he probably even contributed to. He wasn't just done to him. I'm sure things happened that caused him to be put in a place of unrequited love. And yet, nonetheless, if you knew the man, you knew that there was something else at work in him. And there was a joy in him and a peace because he knew about this other love waiting for him. That was part of his life today. It was a love not based on the winding down world that we're all part of, right? Because the love that we share with each other in this world is winding down with the world too. And you can know this when someday you might be putting your spouse into a retirement community or a nursing home, or you might even be burying them. I still remember Lloyd Stackhouse when he had to bury Betty. You know, this long, passionate marriage they'd had together. It had its ups and downs like all marriages do, but they deeply loved each other. And then when she died, he had to say goodbye to her. And his love was unrequited in that moment because she couldn't answer him. She couldn't answer him. But someone could answer on her behalf. And that's the faith that we come to join with each other today in. There is a reality beyond this one that's not part of the winding down world, and there's a love that goes beyond the world that we understand. There's an eternal love that our Heavenly Father gives to us in the blessing of His Son to us, Jesus. That love is what's meant to carry us through. And in fact, the unrequited reality of love in this life is meant to direct us to God. The travails, the difficulties, the hardships of your life are meant to direct you to God and to His love for you, that this world cannot stop. There's nothing in this world can get in the way of your Heavenly Father's love for you. And that's what we celebrate each week here at Trillium. It's amazing. It's amazing that this love is given to us. You know, we talk about miracles, right? We talked about miracles last week. There's the great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 that we talked about. We talked a little bit about the healing of Jesus and the blind man. And we especially looked at the incredible miracle of Jesus' resurrection. But there is one miracle greater than all of them, even the resurrection of Jesus. There's a miracle greater than all of them, and it's the miracle of God's unflinching and unending love for you. That is a miraculous love because it's miraculous because it goes beyond this world. It's not touched by the winding down reality of this life that we're a part of. It's something that's not touched by it. And it's a love that God freely gives to us, not because we've earned it, not because we're special in any kind of way, but because God chooses to love us and love us passionately and will love us right through this world, right to the very end, and will be waiting for us with that same love. And that's the love we're called to know today with each other and to live out in our communion together. Not the world love that winds down, but the love that God has for us. That's the love we're called to share with each other. And it's a real love. And it's waiting for me in this moment, and it's waiting for you. And the question is, are we going to requite God's love for us? Or are we going to leave God's unrequited again? And I pray for us that we'll requite God's love, we'll return God's love, kind for kind. And we'll do that especially as we love each other in the same love that God has for us.